If you take your Bible this morning and open to the book of Colossians, we'll be looking at Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. And over the past few weeks, we've been looking at this topic of praying for our community. And we began the study by looking at the importance of praying for those who are in positions of leadership. That means from the president right on down to our local mayor or our local town supervisor, to lift these individuals up before the throne of grace. It's important to do that. We also looked at the importance of conveying God's righteousness and God's mercy to this community, to people that are around us. And today we're going to get some more insight on praying for those around us and how we might have an impact on our community. Again, Colossians 4, verses 2 through 6, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes this: devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Well, as we look at this passage, there are a lot of commands that are given today. I just want to focus, though, on three commands. And the first one has to do with prayer. It comes out of verse 2. Again, verse 2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Paul there mentions three aspects of prayer, and they have to do with faithfulness, watchfulness, and thankfulness. Those are all tied into prayer. Today, I just want to touch on one of those aspects, and that is faithfulness, being faithful in prayer. The NIV translates that as devote yourselves to prayer. The English Standard Version says continue steadfastly in prayer. And the Greek word here has to do with being strong, being persistent, or holding fast. The idea is this: if you could imagine yourself hanging on to a wire over Niagara Falls, you would want to hang on to that wire really tight, right? You would want to hold fast. You would not want to let go. This is what Paul is saying when he's urging the believers to keep on praying. Hey, don't ever give up. Hold fast, keep on praying. How many of you know people that go to the gym and work out or exercise? Maybe you're one of them every single day. You're shaking your head now. You're saying, oh man, oh, that's not for me, right, John? How many of you know people who do that every single day? Maybe you're one of them, or maybe you know someone. Let me ask you this. When you think of those people, do you think there are ever days where they're thinking, you know what, maybe I can just skip today? Do you think they wake up every day saying, man, I just can't wait to put on my sweatpants and do some sweating in my sweatpants? Well, I'm sure there are some days where they're thinking, man, you know, if I just miss a couple day or two here, it's really not, what's the big deal, you know? So too, that can happen with our attitude about prayer. You know what, if I just miss a day or two, really, what's the big deal? And so Paul would say, you know what, you need to hold fast to pray. Last summer, I did a little bit of running, and I tried to run just about every day. Didn't quite do it every day, but I tried to. And let me just tell you this. The hardest part for me was getting on my running shoes and getting to the end of the driveway and taking a couple steps. Once I actually took a few steps, I was like, hey, I'm really glad I'm doing this. There were some days where maybe I didn't say that all the way through, but I felt good as I got moving and as I got going. Same can be true of prayer. Some of us may need to just say, you know what, I just need to go find a quiet place. I just need to bow my head and I just need to start opening my mouth and talking to God and listening to Him. And once I begin to do that, I realize, oh, this is oh so good once I begin to do that. Yet how many of us pray like we exercise? Right? I mean, right now, maybe some of you are thinking, you know, the summer's, not summer, it feels like summer, spring, weather's breaking, it's getting nice, you know, I'm going to go out there and start getting in shape again. But then what happens? It gets a little hot, and I say, well, maybe not today. And then before you know it, it's winter, and then I'll wait till next spring to get back at it. We can have that same attitude with prayer. And so what Paul is driving home here is this: don't let that happen to prayer. Stay devoted. Because you know why? Life is hard. Life is difficult. Let's not paint a rosy picture here. Life is going to be hard, but continue to pray. Be faithful. Be faithful at prayer. Will there be days when you say, like we do with exercise, is this even doing any good? Yeah, that can happen. And some days in exercise, you may look at yourself or step on the scale and say, you know what, what's the point? I'm not gaining any ground here. Same can be true of prayer. We may not see with our natural eyes anything happening. But you know what, just like with exercise, there's some good stuff going on the inside. The heart is pumping, you know, the blood's a moving, toxins are supposed to be getting out. That's what they tell me anyway when you start sweating. There's some good stuff going on the inside, even though I can't always see it with my own eyes. So it is with prayer. We may be praying about something and we don't see with our natural eyes what is happening. But from God's perspective, there's a lot of stuff going on that we cannot see. There is a mystery, if you will, about prayer. There is an invisibleness about prayer. This is what Paul speaks of in our passage today from Ephesians 6. I want to look at that again, just the first few verses, Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. Paul says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." This is the key verse here, verse 12. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And Paul would go on to say, because of that, pray in the Spirit. So then, what does it mean to be faithful, to be devoted to prayer? Well, to do so, I think one thing that is key is that we need to predetermine that we're going to pray. Again, predetermine to pray. Now, I'm not saying that we can't pray spontaneously, because Paul says, what? Be ready, right? Pray at all times, on all occasions, with all kinds of requests. That's not what I'm saying, but what I'm saying is this: if we don't predetermine to pray, it's likely that we will not pray. That's often true. And hopefully you all have a predetermined time when you pray. And if you don't, then I'd encourage you to do so, because it's so important that you have that time of prayer with the Lord. Most of us probably pray in the morning. I don't know about you, but that's when I try to pray before the day begins. Just seek the Lord, wait on him, talk to him, pray to him. But let's suppose it's one of those mornings. You know, you've had those mornings where it was maybe up a little bit late the night before, and the snooze button goes off, and you hit the snooze a few times, and all you have time for is shower, breakfast, and you're out the door. And you're like, well, I guess I'll have to pray tomorrow morning. Don't do that. On your way out the door, well, yes, pray tomorrow morning, but on your way out the door, predetermine to pray that day some other time. What might that look like? Well, if you drive to work, or maybe you ride a school bus to work, take that time and pray. Now, if you're driving, do me one thing, please keep your eyes open, right, as you pray and drive. But if you're riding on the school bus, you can have, Josh, you close your eyes and you spend that time praying to the Lord. Take that time to pray. It could mean this: instead of eating lunch in the break room if you're at work and listening to the latest news — I know what the news is, I've been in break rooms — Take that time, go out to your car with your peanut butter and jelly sandwich and use that 30-minute time and just pray. If you missed it in the morning, pray then. This is the idea of being devoted to prayer. I'm not going to let this day go by without seeking the Lord, without praying. I'm in desperate need of prayer, and I need to do this. No matter what obstacles I may face, I'm committed. I'm going to pray. So then, how does this relate to praying for our community? Well, let's suppose that you've been praying for your neighbor, Bill, and you've been praying that Bill would come to believe in Jesus, that he'd come to have faith in Christ. And you've been praying faithfully for him for the last 8 years. But his life has actually gotten worse. Maybe he's gotten cancer. Maybe he's had trouble in the home. And you're thinking, man, maybe I should stop praying. Maybe his life would get better if I stopped. No, don't stop praying. Again, because there's things that we can't see with our eyes, things that God may be up to. So when you're tempted to give up on praying for someone, God says, don't give up. God says, don't go down that road. Don't you dare go down that road. Don't you forget who I am. Don't forget this, that a thousand years for you is like a day for me. Don't forget that I am God. Don't forget that I am on the throne. Don't stop praying just because things aren't going according to your plans the way you would like to see them go. No, trust in me is what God says. And when we hear his voice tell us that, then we humbly submit and we say, God, you're right. You are the Lord God. And I'm not going to stop praying as long as I have breath. You give me life. I'm going to be devoted. I'm going to be committed to pray for my neighbor, Bill, until I see him come to faith in Jesus Christ. The second truth I want us to consider in this passage is found in verse 5. Colossians 4:5, Paul says, "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders and make the most of every opportunity." What does Paul mean there when he says, make the most of every opportunity? Well, what is the context of this verse? The context is this. Paul had just asked that the body of Christ, the church, pray for him when it comes to proclaiming the message or the gospel of Christ. He urged them. He asked them, hey guys, would you please pray that I'd proclaim the message clearly and faithfully? And so not only is it important to pray, Lord, I pray that my neighbor Bill would come to faith in Christ. But when I'm around Bill, may I be wise in the way I conduct myself, in the way I live my life, because Bill is watching my life. And while it's a great that you pray for Bill, if he sees you acting in an unloving or lawless way, will he see Christ in you? Will he see Christ in me? And the answer is no. Now, obviously, God is bigger than our shortcomings, isn't he? We looked at Jonah last week, who was a stubborn, prejudiced prophet. And yet God used Jonah to do what? To turn a city upside down, to bring multitudes of people to himself, to save a city. Certainly God is not limited by man's limitations. God is able to do great things in spite of us. We need to make that clear. However, that does not give us a free pass to just live ungodly and say it really doesn't matter how I live. As long as I pray for Bill and tell him about Jesus, that's all that matters. No, according to Scripture, it is very important how we live our lives, because it is through our actions that people often see the righteousness and the mercy of Jesus Christ. Listen to what Paul said in Romans chapter 2. He's speaking to those who fail to see the importance of their actions. Romans 2:22-24, he says, "You who say that people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who brag about the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Paul there in that last verse quotes the Old Testament prophets. And as you study the history of Israel, this was often on the heart of God, that his people were not living according to the laws that he had laid down. And so people would look at God's, quote, chosen people and say, come on, these people represent God. The Bible says, as Dennis has already said, we are ambassadors. I think Dennis read my notes this morning when he got up here. Just kidding. No. We are ambassadors of Christ. And again, what is an ambassador? They are a representative. It's all right here. And you're good now. Right on. A representative, right when an ambassador goes on behalf of his nation to another nation, he represents his nation. So that often when people look at this one man, their view of his nation will be based upon what they see in the man. So too, as believers, many people may get their view of Christianity in what they see in you and in me. You've heard that phrase, haven't you? You may be the only Bible that people will ever read, right? Because you demonstrate, you represent Christ wherever you go. You may say, well, Pastor, that's not really fair, because Jesus was perfect and I'm a sinner. I fall short of the glory of God. I'm a sinner. And you, how am I supposed to represent Christ who is perfect? And you know what? Certainly we are sinners. We all fall short. But if Christ is in us and Christ has changed us, then though we're not perfect, we still are able to reflect Christ to this world through our actions, through the things that we do. And so what Paul would say here is this: you know what? People may be able to point out sin in your life, but make sure they have to look really, really hard. Make sure there's not this blatant, obvious sin that people can just see. And yes, it's true. People are going to dig out their microscope and they're going to be real critical of you as a believer. And that may happen. But you know what? The point is this: let them see us living wisely. How do we live wisely? Let them see purity. Let them see love. Let them see gentleness. Let them see mercy. Let them see sincerity. Let them see that in you and me. Let them see Christ. The third area I want us to consider is in verse 6, back in Colossians 4, where Paul says, let your conversation be always full of grace. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean that we always go around saying, God is a God of grace, and God loves you, and don't worry about anything because God is gracious and he's always going to be gracious in everything? And is that what it means to always be full of grace? Well, if you remember back a couple weeks ago, we looked at the Apostle Paul. Remember what he said to the people in Athens? He began to tell them about faith in Christ. And he said that one day God is going to judge the world by the man he has appointed, referring to Jesus Christ. Remember when Paul was before the governor Felix, what he said? He spoke to Felix about judgment, righteousness, self-control, right? The judgment to come. You may say, Paul, if you're speaking only of grace here, how can you also speak of all this judgment as well? What then did Paul mean when he said, let your conversation be always full of grace? He means this: speak as someone who has been saved by grace and knows they've been saved by grace. One of my favorite t-shirts has this saying on the front. It says this, let me get it right. It says, I am the wretch that the song refers to. You get that? You get that saying? You know what song that they're talking about, right? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You see, that person who wears that shirt understands that they are a wretch, that they are in desperate need of the grace of God. And if they truly understand that, it's going to come out in the way they speak to a watching world without Christ. That is what it means to speak full of grace. You see, if we know that God's grace has touched us and transformed us, then it will come out in the way we speak. Paul here is speaking about the attitude of our speech. Speak graciously. And that does not mean that we never speak of God's justice or his wrath or his righteousness or his holiness. It's not what it means, because Paul would go on to say, let your speech be what? Seasoned with salt. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples? Not only are you the light of the world, but you're also the salt of the earth. What does salt do? Well, it flavors our some food, but it also preserves. That was the main thing it was used for back in the day. It preserved. And so too, as believers, if we're to be the salt of the earth and we're to be a voice of God's righteousness and his holiness and his justice, and we can convey that through our actions and through the things that we say. And if we don't, then this world is going to rapidly decay. And that's a great challenge for us, isn't it? To be salt, but yet in a spirit of graciousness. Because we can sometimes get out of balance, right? Sometimes we're all about grace and we don't want to talk about God's judgment or wrath, or we may go all the way the other way and always talk about his judgment and you're going to burn and never ever talk about his grace. And so we need this perfect balance, if you will. Sometimes we can be salt without any grace. And if we're salt without any grace, then we'll tend to be harsh, tend to be abrasive. And we may actually fold our arms and look at a sinful world and say, man, you guys are, you're just going to hell in a handbasket real fast. Let me ask you, if our arms are folded and that is our lofty attitude, does that demonstrate grace? I don't think so. It reveals that we don't care. In other words, too bad. Hey, I'm saved. I'm in the lifeboat. Who cares if everybody else around me is drowning? I'm in. I'm on my way to heaven. I've got grace. Does that reveal grace? Does that sound like speech that is full of grace? No. I believe one of the greatest doctrines that we can learn and dig deeply in the Bible are the doctrines of grace. What does grace really mean? We often have a tendency to throw ourselves in the mix, to throw our humanity in the mix. God's grace is not like that at all. We need to understand truly what grace means. We would do well to follow the example of Christ, who John says in John 1, Jesus came to this world in bodily form, full of what? Grace and truth. John says, John chapter 1, when the people heard Jesus speak in the synagogues, you know what they said about him? It says this, they all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. May we be like Jesus. May people be able to hear the gracious words that come from our lips, because we know that were it not for the grace of God, we're doomed, we're lost. May that be conveyed in the way we speak to those who need to hear about Jesus Christ. Well, as we consider these three areas today, prayer, conduct, and speech, I want to close with this final thought, and that is this. I want you to see all these three things as tied together. In other words, it's so important that we have all three of these working together: prayer, conduct, and speech. We ought not say, well, you know what? If I'm praying and I'm trying to live the godly life, who cares how I talk? You know, it really doesn't matter. Or we shouldn't say, you know what, if as long as I'm living right and trying to talk right, who cares if I pray? I mean, I just don't have time to pray. I know Meatloaf made a lot of money out of singing that song. Two out of three ain't bad, but that's not how it works in God's economy. God doesn't want two out of three. God wants us to have all three working together. You need to see those three as a three-legged stool. You got a stool with three legs. You can sit on it. It'll support you. What happens if you pull off one of those legs? You're down on the ground like the subway, plop, right? You're just down. We need to see all of these three in unison. So let me ask you, where are you at today? What area stuck out to you today when we talked about prayer, lifestyle, and speech? Which one stuck out the most to you? Was it prayer? Has your devotion to prayer maybe faded? Have you lost the zeal? Have you lost the fire? Do you think you can just live the life without prayer? I can get there. That's not a good place to be. To think that I can live the Christian life, be a pastor, apart from relying on God and clinging to Him every day in prayer? That's foolish thoughts from me. Maybe it's your lifestyle. Are you doing things that you know are unholy? They're ungodly. They don't please God. And if your neighbor were to see that, they'd be shocked. And finally, maybe it is speech. Maybe it's the tongue. We all know, as James says, right, the tongue is real tough to tame. And why is that? Well, because we got to use it every day, right? It'd be nice if we never had to use our tongues, but we got to use it. And so, as James says, it's full of deadly poison. There's always stuff behind the tongue that wants to go the wrong way instead of say the right thing. Maybe that's an area that the Lord is speaking to you about today. God commands us to have gracious speech. As James says, be slow to speak. In other words, really think before you speak. God, what I'm about to say, is this honoring to you? If not, then don't say it. And as we combine these three and seek to live them out before a watching world, I pray that God would be pleased to use us for His glory and to bring many to Himself. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word today. And Lord, I know for me, Lord, just this area of prayer for me is just, You've spoken to me, Lord, just how foolish I can be to think that I can make it through even one day without You, Lord. Lord, I pray that You would stir the fire and the passion in my heart again to just cling to You, to hold fast to prayer, to be devoted and committed to pray. Lord, there's so much to pray about. Father, I pray for each one here today that, Lord, You would speak to their hearts in whatever area You choose to speak. And Lord, that we would not leave here and forget the things that we've heard, but we would put them into practice so that our lives might be lived like they are on a solid rock. Father, thank You again for Your grace. Thank You for the grace that saved us, and help us to be people who speak graciously to a world that needs to hear about You. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.